Ellie, am I on? Yeah, there we go. Sorry about that. Ellie threw a curveball at me there. That's like that guy on the major leagues last night. That thing, I thought we were singing Holy Spirit there, and then it kind of transitioned. You can't do that to us ADHD people because I was trying to figure out what we were doing there. That was good, though, guys. Thank you for that. Have you ever read a Bible verse and you thought, man, that's interesting? Wonder what that means. And you had to. One of those Bible verses is Hebrews 13:2, that talks about entertaining angels. Actually, it says to practice hospitality. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. You ever read that verse? I mean, first of all, you'd have to read the Bible to read that verse. Hopefully, you've read the Bible. Hopefully, you're reading through it right now with us. But when you think about that, that's weird. You know, it happened in the Old Testament with Samson and with Abraham. And you say, does it happen now? Look, I don't know exactly how to break that verse down, but I lead with this for a reason, and that's the word hospitality. Last night, I was kind of picking at catfish a little bit. Look, out of all my staff, I love them all. But I will say this publicly: if I ask them to do something, catfish is the one person that won't question it. Okay, like if I tell Mandy to do something stupid, she can be like, "No, nah, I'm not doing that." If I tell catfish, he's just that kind of guy. He's that obedient. He's like, "Okay, this sounds stupid, but Joe's asked me to do it. He's got to have a good reason. Whether I have a good reason or not, catfish will do it." Okay, and I love him for that. And so somebody last night at Dollar General literally comes up to me, and Lori's like, "Hey, I'll load your groceries and I'll give you a knife in return." I'm like, "What? I don't want a knife." Okay. I was like, "I'm good with my groceries. I got them. It's just really one bag. I'm good with this." And he goes, "Man, I just need a drink." I'm like, "You just need a drink? Okay, I'll give you some money." So I give him some money for a drink and I left. So Catfish and the crew were up here and I was like, "Hey, Catfish, I sent a guy up there looking for some food." And he's like, "What?" And all their kids are up here, so I obviously would never do that. Next thing I know, Catfish is going in there to minister to him. He's like, "Well, I took him some food and took him some drink," and I was like, "He was smoking a cigarette, wasn't he, with that money I give him?" And Catfish is like, "Yeah, he was." I was like, "I knew it." I was like, "But that's all right." But here's the point. Here's the point. That's, and I know some people say, "Well, you know, I don't give money to people on sides of the road and stuff like that." Lori and I about killed a guy the other day. Because we had to make a quick turn. People was blowing the horns at us, so we just threw some thing out, and the dude went out in the street. I'm like, we just about got that guy killed. We probably don't need to do that again. But it's the way I look at it is, it's not for me. Now, I'm not writing people $100 checks, but $3, $5, it's not up to me to decide what they're going to do with it. I know you say, "Well," but here's the thing, and Josie got into this a minute when we were in Miami. She said, "Daddy, why are people homeless?" I said, "Well, it's a complex situation. Used to, I thought they just didn't want to work. There's a lot of mental illness that goes into things like that, and so it's not. It's for another story. The point to all this is, we don't know what's going on in people's lives. We don't understand, and when we practice hospitality to people, to strangers, then we are being biblical. And again, we have to be prudent. I understand that." If you look up the word hospitality in Webster's dictionary, it says to let me just paraphrase. It says to be nice or to entertain strangers or people you know, to sacrifice, to give things to them. Today we're looking at this. We're looking at a woman by the name of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Technically, we don't know if that's her name. That's what the Bible calls her. But it's in Acts 16. We're looking at disciples, what the disciples do. We're looking at some examples. And a disciple is a follower of Jesus. We understand that. So when we look at these examples, we understand that if they do it, and Paul touches on it, and Peter touches on it, then we ought to be doing it. And that is practicing hospitality. Let's look at a little bit what hospitality is. When we think about it, we think, "Oh, there's a hospitality team. It means we welcome people." Hospitality is just letting people come over. And it is a gift, by the way. It is a spiritual gift. Everyone does not have it. Again, like last week, that doesn't mean we're not all called to practice hospitality in some way. So go to Acts 16 with me, if you will. It's just a few verses. It says, "From Troas, We put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. Now, Philippi was originally named a different name. Philip of Macedon comes in and conquers it. He's Alexander the Great's father, and so he renames it after himself. I guess if I conquered a city, I could name it Joe, but he renames it Philippi. And then a few years later, there's the Romans come in, and they take over the area. When there's Brutus and Cassius, you know, who revolted on Julius Caesar. Then you've got Octavius and Mark Antony on one side. They defeat them, and then eventually they have a fight, and Octavius gets control of it. So it becomes a Roman colony. What they did with Roman colonies is they put retired military people there, and they still wore their military garb. It's to signify, hey, Rome rules here. Rome's actually in charge. They still paid taxes to Rome, but they got to enjoy the peace, the Pax Romana of Rome. That means they got to fall under Rome's protection as long as they didn't buck Rome. So it's a Roman colony. It's made up heavily of Gentiles. This area is. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. By the way, they got there. It was, according to the commentators, it was smooth sailing because they were tracing how they got there. When they land, they said it's about a 10-mile walk up the Ignatian Road to where the city would be. And so they expected to find a place of prayer. Now, all it took was 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue in the city. So we know there's not 10 practicing Jews in this city, or they would have a synagogue. For the most part, we only have women who are worshiping here in this city. So it's a heavy Gentile pagan area. It says, we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia. Now, she was from Thyatira, which we'll see. It says, let me just go ahead and read it. A dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. Now, that's a lot to unpack in one verse there. Lydia is the district she was from. Thyatira was in the ancient territory of Lydia. So it's just actually possible that she was known as the Lydian lady, or the lady from Lydia. But she's called Lydia for us, so that's perfectly fine. Not that important. But then it goes on to say that she dealt with purple cloth. This was a purple dye that they got from a certain clam or shellfish, and they had to squeeze it out, and it was a very expensive product, which means she made good money by selling this product. So Lydia not only is not necessarily from Philippi, she's from Thyatira, and she has money, and she was a worshiper of God. That's the way they worded this is, that's for a Gentile who believes enough, but they do not have a relationship with Jesus. They don't have saving faith. In other words, they're not hostile to the gospel, but they don't believe everything. They understand that there's a creator, and that's kind of it, maybe to the extent. So she was a worshiper of God, but the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, more than likely that's her servants. She had servants. It doesn't mention a husband. She could have had children through a marriage. He could have passed on, but she had servants more than likely because of her wealth. By the way, this doesn't speak for household salvations. It doesn't say that because she was saved, they were all saved. We get into that a little bit later, but nowhere in Scripture does it say that. What happened, more than likely, was she responded to the gospel. She goes home and carries the gospel home and shares with them, and they respond to the gospel. They were baptized. She invited us to her home. She gives a test to them here. She says, if you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. It's kind of like this. Hey, if you believe me, if you believe I'm real, come stay at my house. And so she throws that out to them, and they do. And she persuaded us. By the way, Luke is writing this. There's a couple of chapters in Acts where Luke says us and we. This is one of those passages. There are times when Luke leaves them and he goes away. But for now, Luke is with them. All right, let's pray, and then we're going to unpack this a little bit. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Holy Spirit, illuminate the scriptures today and speak to us. Draw us to be more like Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So here's three things I want to look at real quickly in this story, and we'll get to what hospitality is. First of all, there's the providence of God. Notice how this story unfolds. You would have to back up and go, and Catfish is going to get mad at me because he goes, you do this every week. You don't tell me all the verses. If you want to put this up, Fish, you can backtrack real quick. It'd be in 16, Acts 16. And it would just be 6 through 10, somewhere in there. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. We don't know what happened. It could have been physical, but the Holy Spirit said, you're not going to Asia. By the way, Lydia is the first European convert. So they go over there. They tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed Mysia and went down to Troas. On that night, Paul had a vision from someone from Macedonia and said, come visit us. So he goes to Philippi. So we see the providence of God working in all this. Paul wanted to go and stay in Asia, but the Spirit of the Lord said, no, you're going to go to Europe. Paul wanted to be somewhere else, but God said, I have a divine appointment for you with a woman by the name of Lydia, and she's going to be the first European convert. She's going to lead her house to Christ, and she's going to lead a lot more people to Christ, so you are going to go there. Understand this. I know you're thinking, what does this have to do with anything? It will get there. God's providence is still just as real today as it was then. You are not here by an accident today. God has you here for a reason. It may not to be here great preaching, but he has you here for a reason. He put you here today so you could encourage someone, so someone could encourage you. You are at your job for a reason. You say, I hate it. I understand that. But for now, you're there for a reason. I don't know what it is. God has you where you're at in your life for a reason. And this all works together when we'll look at this. You say, well, what does this matter? See, the Holy Spirit stopped Paul. The Holy Spirit has stopped us from doing things before. The Holy Spirit has directed us before. The Holy Spirit has put us in places before. If you think about it like this, you live in America. That is by God's providence. That's by God's grace. Now, I know we're not going to get into it. I know there's a lot of angry people that don't like America. I know there are a lot of people that you know, if you get on Twitter, it's just a constant fight. So if you don't like fighting, just stay off Twitter, but or got to be able to ignore it at least. It's constantly somebody complaining about something. And I'm not going to say it's the greatest nation in the world, but I got news for you. It's one of them. I think it's the greatest, but I haven't been to every nation. When you look at things like civil liberties, when you look at even religious freedoms, America ranks near the top of the list. Now, there are some places that rank higher. Some of the Dutch countries, allegedly, and now that we see some of the things that have been passed in our court systems, I know, you know, that we are losing some of our freedoms, or at least they're trying to, but America is still a great place to live. Understand that God has blessed you in that regard. God, and think about it like this. I've told you this before. There's this thing called, I don't get ahead of myself, but God has you here where you are for a reason. So there's the providence in this entire story. Then look at the second thing. There's the provisions. Lydia has a good job. She's got money. She's seller of the purple dye. She has income. She has servants. She invited these guys, at least four of them, to come stay with her. Imagine if somebody showed up at church today, a pastor or preacher, evangelist, whatever, he had a wife and two kids, and they said, you know what, I feel like God's leading us to stay here for a week. You would have to have the means to come up and say, hey, come stay at my house. I got plenty of room. We got plenty of money. We can feed you. We can do all those things. Lydia had the provisions to be hospitable, okay?
She had the provisions to do that. I know a lot of us think, well, I don't have that. I don't have the biggest house in the world. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of this. I've told you before, there's this thing called World Calculator. I forgot what it's called. World Income Calculator, something like that. And you can type it in. If you really want to feel rich, do that. I'm being serious. World Income Calculator, put in what you make, and it will tell you what it is. When I punch it in, I think, Lori, now we're not in the top 1%. We're in the top. I don't even read decimals that well. There's a decimal, and then there's a zero, and then there's a number. We're in the top 0.7 or 0.3, whatever it was, in the entire world. Not in Oakville, in the entire world. And you say, how is that? I don't even make it. I'm the lowest income earner in my Sunday school class. Go to Guatemala with us. I can carry you some places. El Salvador, Indonesia. I can carry you a lot of places that I've been to, and I promise you, your 30, 40, 80, 120,000 would go a lot further. You have the provisions. If you are born in America, you at least have an opportunity to make money. You see, when you think of it like this, just look at all the vacations we take. I was doing a little research on that several weeks ago, and it's funny how people change. Older generation was like this. They lost a lot of their vacation days. They wouldn't take them. That wouldn't fly with my wife. I mean, like, she can burn them faster than any worker I've ever seen in my life. The newer generation, like my age and below, oh, they're taking them. The average person today takes over 17, I think it's 17.2 vacation days a year. 17.2. Okay? But again, 30, 40, 50 years ago, people's like, I don't have any reason to take a vacation. They just roll them over. And then the company finally goes, either we're going to pay you, you're going to lose them. That doesn't happen anymore. But here's the thing about vacation. We don't just take them and stay them home and do yard work. We go places. We have provisions. We have 2-3 car payments. We have a house payment that's way more than we can afford. We have the provisions just like Lydia. But here's the issue. We don't share it. Sometimes, like Lydia did. There's a providence, there's a provision. Then I want you to notice the last thing, there's a persuasion. She says, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. She didn't just say, hey, you want to stay at my house this week? You can. Don't really care if you want to or not. It's there. I'm not a good host. You're on your own, but it's there. Now, who wants to go stay at that? You're like, I don't know about that. There are some people, though, that I've encountered in my life that are very good at this. Okay? Dad always jokes about Miss Mavis. She was like that. She'd invite you to her house, tell you to eat, and then tell you to keep eating. Keep eating. You're like, but I'm full. Eat some more. And you're like, okay. I mean, and she meant it. And she's like, come sit down. You know, she always had the Decatur Daily. She'd throw it around. Sit down. Eat. Let's go up here and eat. You know, but a lot of us don't mean it. There's, you know, we have some joke with some of our people, Eddie, Teddy, Ross, some of those guys. If I'm ever around them, they're paying. If we're all together, and then Ross, the big guy from Michigan that y'all laugh about, he goes, everybody's got alligator arms when it comes to the people, you know, grabbing a check. He's like, hey, I'll get that check. You know, but Ross really will. He's like, I got the check. Give it to me. Hospitality. He doesn't think about it. I mean, he don't even know how much is on there most of the times. But here's the thing. We all have the provisions. We do. The question is, do we have the persuasion? Now, look at it like this. When you look up this word that they use here, they persuaded us. It means to be contrary to the normal. In other words, contrary to the flesh. What's normal for us is to not share our provisions. It's to keep them to ourselves. It's to go on more vacations. It's to have bigger cars. It's to have bigger houses. It's to have more clothes. It's to have all the things that we want. But when we get the right attitude, when Jesus Christ changes us like he changed Lydia, then all of a sudden it's like, hey, this stuff is given to me by the providence of God, so it's up to me to share it. So my house is not my house, it's God's house. And it just is. My car is not my car. It's God's car. If somebody needs to borrow, then you let them borrow. Your income is not yours. Your bank account is not yours. You know how I know we don't get this? I'm going to beat up on us just for a minute. is that I've challenged you 2 years in a row to give, and you know, we do good, pretty good on giving tithes, but we still struggle with missions. We don't understand it. As currently, and I don't know names, I just had Mandy give me a number. As of right now, we only have 29 families on pace to give $500 to missions this year. That's not very good. And I'm talking about things to like Open Door USA, to give to Vietnam where people can have Bibles to read. How many of you take that for granted every day? I have about 19 Bibles in my library over there. And there are people, you say, well, get rid of them. I can't send them to Vietnam because they can't read them. I can't send them to Mexico or Guatemala because they can't read them. But we take things like that for granted. We take, you know, when we go to Open Doors, when I went to Asia, and I told you this last week, when we go to Guatemala, the thing that just impresses on people that we actually care about them, they start crying and think, I didn't know people in America actually thought about us. You see, we have the provisions to do it. We just don't have the persuasion, contrary to our nature, to be hospitable. Now, Paul touches on it, and Peter touches on it. Fish, put those scriptures up real quick, please. 1 Peter 4:8 says this, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Imagine that. Ever been there before? I've done that. I said, I want to be the house where my kids come to because that way I know where they're at. But I'm going to tell you what, they're getting to the stage where sometimes I grumble. Because they're loud, I'm telling you, they get to where they can eat. I'll be like, where's the bread? Where's the peanut butter and jelly? Where's this? They're like, Lord's like, the kids ate it all. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, no kids for a week. Not very hospitable, right? Then I'll get convicted and say, look, at least they're here. We know what they're doing. You got 17-year-olds hanging out at your house, you better get 9 loaves of bread, okay? And that's for 2 days. But at least you know where they're at. You know what they're doing. How many times have we done that in a block party? Being hospitable, like, I'm thinking about this. People griping all the time. That's our attitude. Romans 12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I didn't give you the whole verse. Yeah, I did. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. How do we do this? Well, we can do it. We have chances every week to give to missions. I've been under serious conviction myself about this, myself about, you know, and all the things that we stand for, we believe as Christians. When you read Matthew 25, when did you give me food? When did you visit me? When did you clothe me? When you read Isaiah 58, when we talk about that, the same stuff. There are, you know, as Christians, we are called to show hospitality to strangers, to people who are in need. Think of it like that. Now, first of all of us could be in need. There are people in this room who need to be loved and hugged on and cried with. But then we look at the people in our society who need it. And we talk about the moms who get abortions or the children, and we pray for those. But then we've tried to stress lately maybe some orphans or some people who need to be adopted. We need to support that as well. And then this week I got under conviction about a couple other things, so I've made some calls to some county jails and prisons and things like that, and we'll get to that in the future. Because these people need Jesus too. They need Jesus probably more than we do right this minute. Because you say, well, they made mistakes. They did make mistakes. And we all make mistakes. But that doesn't mean we don't take the gospel to them. And so there's this mindset that we have that I don't think we do it intentionally. But we don't recognize that God has put us where He's put us for a reason. We don't recognize that God has given us the provisions, but then we're just not very good at persuading people to say, hey, here's mine, here's my stuff, you can use it. Now the kicker to all this is we've just got to start doing it together. You've heard the old saying, when you pull the fire out, it goes away, but when you put it together, it flames brighter. I'll tell you a story, Moen. I don't think my children in here, Holly, Hannah, anybody? Okay. I think they were Lord in the nursery. So we were in Miami and we were eating at this Argentinian pizza place. Now, look, before I tell you the story, if you think I'm bragging on my kids because they're perfect, you're crazy. Okay. One of them's got an issue when he gets home with Lori, because she told him to put something up, and he did. He put it on the stairs. That's not considered up for her. The peanut butter was left out last night, and the jelly was left out. I mean, y'all know who it was. He's not perfect. He's more heart than head, okay? I'll tell you that. All right, no doubt. But he does have a big heart. So we were going into this place, and there was this homeless guy who was sitting right there, literally, and I'm not making fun. I mean, you're going to laugh, but he had two teeth. I mean, I couldn't understand him because he spoke Spanish, but even if he spoke English, I wouldn't be able to understand him. So Ty sees him, and he's like, "Dad, is he homeless?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's homeless." He goes, "We're going to give him some food." And I was like, "Yeah, we'll get him some." And so the thing is, you know, we try to always, if we're in, especially in a big city, and even in Decatur, you can do it every now and then, Huntsville, you can do it, is if you have leftovers, just give them to somebody. Don't take them home and let them sit in the refrigerator for 9 days. Just give them to somebody. So we were just going to give him some of our leftover pizza. And then as soon as I sat down, I got convicted. And I thought, I'm not giving him my leftovers. We're going to order this guy's own pizza, a personal pizza. So I told Ty, I said, you know, we'll just order him a pepperoni pizza and you can run it out there to him. And his eyes just lit up because this was his idea, not mine. And so he's like, he's just looking at him every 30 seconds, just checking on him, making sure he's not leaving because he's wanting to give him that pizza. And so I'm like, "Hey, Ty, you think you want to eat with us?" "Yeah." So he's going out there, and I hope Lori don't watch us today. Mandy's the only one that knows this story. Lori stops. She goes, whoa, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I'm going to get him." She goes, "You going to let him sit with us, Joe?" I'm like, "Well, yeah." She goes, "He stinks." I was like, "Yeah." And Ty goes, "What would Jesus say about that comment?" She goes, "I'm not really Jesus yet. Just say it." And I set him back down. I said, "Look, Ty, here's the thing." I was like, "She's probably wrong." I said, "But here's the thing. He doesn't speak English." He didn't. He was Cuban. I said, "He didn't speak English. He's not going to understand anything we say." I said, "So it's okay." And so he's mad. He's sitting over there just eyeballing her like, "I can't believe." She's like, "I'm just saying, he doesn't speak English anyway." Now she's using my line. And so that pizza comes out. We get him a Pepsi, I think. I was like, "Surely he'll like Pepsi." Ty goes, "Can I carry it out there?" I was like, "Yeah, carry it out there, whatever." So Ty carries it out there. He's trying to speak Spanish and English. It's a great thing. I'm like watching over there. And Lori goes, "Hey, Joe, check out the guy watching Ty." And there was a guy sitting in the window. He was sitting there eating his pizza, and he was watching everything Ty did. And Ty gives him the stuff, and Ty's trying to talk, and he can't. He come back in, and I was like, "What'd he say?" He goes, "I don't know." He said he smiled, and he says, I think he was Catholic because he started doing this. I was like, that's fine. But here's the funny thing. When we leave, Lori, she's a woman. She's got to go to the bathroom before we leave. So Lori's like, "Anybody got to go to the bathroom?" And the kids, I was like, "Look, we got about a 10-minute ride back, so y'all go." And I'm sitting there, and I'm selling the check and all that stuff, and I watch. The guy that had watched Ty for 10 or 15 minutes, he leaves, carries his food, and carries it outside and gives it to the guy. And then kind of touched him and smiled and walked off. When he come back, I tell Lori, I said, "You know that guy that watched Ty for 10 minutes? He went and did the same thing." And she said, "You know, that's pretty funny that probably Ty had an impact on him doing that." Now, I'll tell you that to tell you this, not to brag on my kid, trust me. They'll probably get a whipping by 1:30, all right? From Lori, by the way, not me. But he at least had that part right. He had an eye for people, for somebody that needed something. You could easily say, "Well, we don't know what made that guy homeless." I don't. That's not my job. You know what it cost me? It cost me $11 to buy a personal pizza and a Pepsi. In the grand scheme of things, I'd have blown that at Ron John's Surf Shop or Alvin's Island or somewhere else later in that night. So it wasn't that big a deal. We have the provisions. We just have to be like Lydia and be more persuasive with people to say, "Hey, here's what I got." Now, why do we do that? Because that's what Jesus did. That's how Jesus lived. And when we do it, people see Jesus in us. I told Ty, I said, "Now, when you give something, you got to tell him." I was like, "He's not going to understand you, but at least tell him." I told him some Spanish terms. I don't know much, trust me. I said, "Jesus Cristo," and I told him some stuff to say. And Ty thought I was like tricking him. He's like, I'm not saying. I'm like, no, it's legit. Dios de bendigo is God bless you. Teddy taught me that. And I said, just tell him some stuff like that. And he said, okay. But here's the thing. We've all got to get to the point where we're like Lydia, because that's what Christ is. What do disciples do? They show hospitality. Paul and Peter told us that. So this morning, maybe, I don't know where you're at. You know where you're at. Then, but if you understand this, that God has put you where he's put you with the money he's put you with, maybe some of you are so far in debt you can't really give right now. To that I say, just work your way out. Sell some things. Do whatever you got to do where you can give and be a blessing to other people. But for those of you that have the means, let's just start blessing other people. I said when I took over this church, the one thing I would like for us to be known for is the most giving church to missions in the world. Per capita. I know we can't give more than the big churches, but per capita, we can give more to missions than anybody if we just want to. That's hospitality. That's showing love to strangers. And we do it because Jesus did it for us. Would you stand, please? Bow your head and close your eyes. Brother Dave's going to come. He's going to sing something. You want to sing with him, you sing. I'm going to make this very brief. Nothing really to add on to that. All I want you to know is if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus, you got to get that right. I'm going to persuade you to do that today. I'm going to beg you to get that right. Here's the thing. I struggle. I have struggles in my life daily. But when we all go back to the Word of God, we can focus on what is in here and what God's Word says. And it says this, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and ask Him to save us, the Bible says He will be faithful to do it. If you have never done that, then you got to get that right today. For the rest of you, maybe there's just something going on you need to change. The altar's open for you today. Brother Dave, sing. You sing with him.